Good afternoon. Welcome to the channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, and we're going to talk about some really interesting in the fact that we've got some unknown that was sold for beans this morning. That was good news there. We've got a lot of positioning ahead of the USDA report. We know CPI came out with some numbers this morning, but then what's going on with this wheat complex? We're going to dive into that and a whole lot more today as Heather Ramsey joins us. Heather, of course, with the ARC group. So let's start with this 254,000 bushel purchase that came from an unknown for soybeans. Granted, it's next marketing year, but sure nice to see a sale.
Yeah, it's a pretty big tonnage of soybeans for like an individual sale. Lately, it's been somewhere in that like 120,000 to 150,000, you know, ton sale size, you know, quantity kind of volume discussion. So it's significantly bigger on an individualized basis. There's definitely some speculation that this is China or maybe potentially an Asian country somewhere over in that neck of the woods. At this point, I don't know that it really matters per se. Like, just seeing some export sales on soybeans is very positive for us, because that kind of plays into what we're looking for report-wise tomorrow. Not that that sale specifically will be reflected in tomorrow's report, but the discussion is that USDA is probably going to lower our export for soybeans. Now, I will say, I argue that, well, that's fine, USDA, go ahead and lower the export numbers, because we know that they've been a little bit lower and they've been off of pace from last year. However, I don't know that USDA is going to give us the credit where we need it as far as domestic crush usage on soybeans. So, interesting to see that soybean sale this morning and have virtually no market reaction to that. We're too concerned with trading this potential bearish number from USDA tomorrow. So that, unfortunately, even though that was a great sale, we're not seeing the market reflect too heavily on that from a soybean standpoint.
Do you have any early thoughts or guesstimates when it comes to this report out tomorrow?
Yeah, I definitely think there is a mounting bias that USDA is going to come in and actually tweak the corn numbers as far as domestic usage on corn. They sort of like the numbers that USDA has been using for corn is quite comical when you look at what's been actually happening as far as domestic usage, both in ethanol and then in the feeding side of the complex. I mean, cattle have been worth a lot of money, Susan. So there is a lot of cattle going in. There's a lot of cattle getting fed. And that writing should have kind of been on the wall given the price action that was going on over in the livestock complex. And so far, they haven't really made any adjustments to that feed number. Same thing when you look at ethanol. Other than our couple weeks where we pulled back because of really, really cold weather, it slowed down grind. This ethanol complex has just been on a tear as far as grind goes on the corn side of the equation. So we're looking to see those domestic numbers come up a total of anywhere from 75 to 100 million bushels. That's not even then talking about the fact that our corn export numbers are almost 40% ahead on sales versus last year. So that's not even talking about putting those changes, down to paper tomorrow. So it looks like corn should be a positive report for us. There is a lot of debate on what soybeans could be. If they're just focusing on our lack of exports, that's going to hurt us. I think if they were to pair our lack of exports with our increase in domestic crush on soybeans, that should be a fairly neutral report. We're pretty much making up for what we haven't sold total on soybeans with what we are crushing there in all of our processing, specifically when you look at what goes into, like, you know, the biofuel demand that's higher, those kinds of things. So really, it looks like it. Best case scenario, soybean numbers would be fairly neutral. Worst case scenario, they're just factoring in the drop in our export sales, and that's going to be bearish. And I think that's why we see beans finishing off about 11 cents today. Wheat tomorrow, I kind of feel like your guess is as good as mine. I know there's some sentiment out there that, you know, wheat could be bearish just because of the overall current crop condition versus the last couple years, is the overall stocks that are sitting kind of around the U.S. And then if you look at the world. But, you know, I just never really feel like taking a bet on wheat. The last couple years, I've really just kind of like jerked around that market so much. I think it's hard to really do much from a prediction standpoint in wheat. There could be some serious new crop problems looming from a weather standpoint that may override what goes on with tomorrow's report with wheat.
Any inkling to what that, expand on that a little bit more for us?
As far as weather issues go, I mean, unfortunately, I feel like in Nebraska, we talk about this more regularly now than I ever wanted to, but it is dry in the northern, western, any plains, really. Actually, just pick the plains and say it's dry. It's been really dry. Lots of drying will be going on even more so this week because it's going to get hot in the northern plains and the central plains. Then if you go look at kind of that that EU region, Russia, Ukraine, that region in there, super hot, super dry. Again, over there, I think we're approaching, I want to say we're getting close to approaching two solid weeks of dryness in some really key areas over in that, Black Sea EU region. And so there's a growing concern that, sure, quality has started good, but boy, we could really, erode this quality and this condition really, really fast if this is the kind of weather pattern that sticks around.
All right. Well, stick around, folks. We've got a lot more coming up as we get ready for the second half of the Channel Final Bell on this Wednesday afternoon. More's coming up. Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
Joe Gangwish back with you for Channel Seed. Steve Bristol of Bristol Ag is our guest on this channel chat. Steve serves the central Nebraska area out of Ravenna. So, Steve, what's been the most rewarding part of being a Channel Seed pro?
You know, being able to solve problems for guys. Lots of times I have growers come to me with all kinds of issues that they face on their farm, and I utilize my local and practical trials and experience to create solutions that fit the individual farm needs.
What are the advantages of channel and regional brands coming together?
You know, we have the best and most complete seed portfolio in the corn and soybean industry, and it just got better. No seed company has a hybrid built specifically for each field's individual demands other than channel.
For more on what channel can do for you, see Steve at Bristol Ag in Ravenna. You can also find Bristol Ag and channel on Facebook or contact your local channel seed professional in Nebraska, Kansas, Wyoming, or Colorado.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. We're continuing our conversation this afternoon with Heather Ramsey. Of course, Heather is with the ARC Group. So we were talking kind of over a break, and you brought up that we talked about the beans positioning, obviously, earlier in this segment, but talking about changes with Brazil. Do we expect any to come our way?
Well, I think everyone's very hopeful that tomorrow's CONAB numbers that get released, then from a WASDE standpoint, that we may start to see some changes in WASDE. Like, those numbers are very, very far apart right now. So CONAB, or I call it CONAB, maybe I'm totally wrong, but that's the Brazilian experts. Those are Brazil's version of USDA, essentially, who give their estimates for what's going on crop-wise in corn and soybeans specifically. That's what I watch. And so lately, the last few reports, we've seen this huge division between what CONAB is estimating soybean crop at and what WASDE is estimating soybean crop at. And the latest number has it at an 8.2 million metric ton gap. That's a really big gap. You know, like a million, sure. You know, that's like almost a clerical error at this point, right? But to be 8.2 million metric tons difference, that's a big spread. So we're looking to see if what CONAB releases tomorrow and what WASDE releases tomorrow, do they get any closer? And if they get closer, who's changed? Has CONAB gone up? Has USDA come down? I think what's interesting about what's going on in Brazil is I've been in the cash grain world. So I look at these cash grain bids in Brazil. What we're seeing is a trend of cash soy bids coming up which, you know, if we're looking at that from a standpoint, what's contributing to that? Well, basis, you know, from a standpoint of what goes into cash, basis has really gotten hot. So that pretty much means they're scrambling to try to get a hold of these beans in Brazil. When do you struggle to get a hold of beans during harvest? Well, when it's short. So there definitely is an expectation that this crop is short, so to speak. The question is, how short is it versus last year? How short is it versus the WASDE number? So I think it'll be interesting. I know there's a lot of hope that we'll get some changes to clarify the situation tomorrow in our April WASDE. I kind of lean towards, we've been kicking the can down the row. We've been talking about April, May is when we know for sure. I'm a little bit pessimistic that they kick the can down the road again until May before they give us any final, you know, corrections or numbers from the WASDE standpoint. So that's potential for tomorrow. But like I said, the market itself is leaning towards showing premium that would make it look like that soybean production is lower than expectations, probably lower than last year. By how much is the biggest question?
Well, as you look at the calendar, it's the 10th of April, kind of an important day because it's time to get those planters, if you can, and should you get them into the field, because April 10th is the go to plant day.
Yeah, it's green light day. It is time to go. So we definitely have planters rolling down by me here in the southern edge of Nebraska. And we've had guys just across the border in Kansas. You know, they've been going for about another 5 days ahead of us. I do know that this puts pretty much everybody in the field of this primary growing area. I think where it's dry, planters are rolling. I know the further east you go, there was a system that rolled through Illinois here last week, and it dumped a bunch of rain in a lot of places. And so those guys over there, you know, I kind of laugh. They're delayed. Well, they're not really behind, but they did have a little bit more rain than maybe what they wanted last week in order to just get rolling right on that April 5th or April 10th date. So, yeah, there's a lot of movement, a lot of activity going. I have heard numerous reports, though, that the ground is still pretty cold. I would imagine, though, with the forecast coming through the next several days, 70s and 80s and maybe a 90 somewhere in this state, ground's going to warm up pretty quickly. So we're definitely going to see planting progress pretty hot and heavy through the next couple weeks.
Man, we're going to go from heat to air conditioning in just a few days.
Yeah, exactly.
So I saw an article, and you talked about this in the first half a little bit, but you were talking about domestic ethanol demand. What about the fact that I saw that there's some ethanol folks that have submitted asking for the permanent removal of Brazil's tariff on imported U.S. ethanol?
The idea that U.S. ethanol could be imported into Brazil tariff-free would be amazing for U.S. production. I think some of that stems from the fact that Brazil is so ethanol dependent and ethanol forward in their fuel usage and consumption. You actually, you know, having been there myself, you'll see, you know, all of public transportation in your major cities run on 100% ethanol. You actually see that cars and, you know, personal vehicles are, you know, programmed and computerized to figure out what their fuel mix is actually on the fly.
What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can check us out online at agrisconsulting.net.
All right, that is today's Channel Final Bell, being brought to you by the Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional on the Rural Radio Network.